This is KYUK, public radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Bethel Winter House will soon have its own building to operate a year-round homeless shelter. Last night, Bethel City Council agreed to sell the old senior center and housing subdivision to Winter House for $1. The City Council is allowed to sell the building and the land for less than fair market value because the property will be used for a, quote, necessary public service. If Bethel Winter House fails to provide a necessary public service in the future, for example, if the organization were to stop operating a homeless shelter, then the land in the building would revert back to the city's possession. While the shelter is operational, the city will provide free water, sewer, and garbage services to the facility, which Winter House will renovate. During the council meeting, Winter House President John Cochran predicted that the homeless shelter would actually save the city money.
When we are open, police calls go down, EMS calls go down, visits to the emergency room go down. Having us available saves the city a lot of money.
Cochran said it will take anywhere from $800,000 to $1.5 million to get the old building back up to code and transformed into what they plan. He said the organization already has most of that money from grants. The new location would be more than a place for the homeless to sleep. It would include meals for seniors and behavioral health services. Bethel Winter House's new shelter still needs to go through the city's conditional use permitting process. Neighbors within 600 feet of the property will be notified of the intent to use the old senior center as a homeless shelter. They will be able to voice their opinion at the Public Works Committee meeting on October 1st. In more municipal news, a familiar face is back in charge of Bethel City Administration. At last night's Bethel City Council meeting, the council announced that Pete Williams will serve as interim city manager. Council members chose Williams from three final candidates. The other two were Mary Beth Whalen and another former city manager, Lee Foley. Williams previously served as Bethel's port director and then moved to the city manager position in 2016. In April 2019, the council fired him during a performance evaluation. At the time, former city attorney Patty Burley questioned whether the city council was following due process. Mayor Perry Barr was one of the three council members who opposed the termination. Councilmember Mark Springer had only good things to say about Williams' previous performance as city manager.
I was always very satisfied with the job that he did, the way he communicated with the council, and the way he worked with the public.
The city council is working with its executive search firm, GovHR, to hire a permanent city manager. Continuing the city news, tonight join KYUK for a live discussion with candidates running for Bethel City Council. Four candidates are vying for three open seats on Bethel City Council. Candidates are incumbents Mayor Perry Barr and Councilmember Michelle DeWitt, newcomer Rose Sugar Henderson, and write-in candidate Conrad C.J. McCormick. Tune into KYUK tonight from 7 to 8:30 p.m. as the candidates answer questions important to Bethel. Send your questions for the candidates to news at kyuk.org. Now, moving north to Newtok. After a month-long outage, the village of Newtok finally has power again. During that month, families lost entire summer subsistence harvests stored in their freezers. KYUK's Greg Kim has more on what took so long to turn the lights back on.
At the end of August, Newtok's backup generator gave out 3 years after its main generator died. The installation of a replacement generator has taken longer than anyone expected. Tribal Administrator Andrew John says that's partly due to the challenges of hooking up new generator parts to existing infrastructure that's over four decades old.
The power generation system, it's on an old analog system that hadn't been upgraded since its installation in 1978.
On top of that, John says a power company's mechanic has been contending with Mother Nature.
The tide is not on our side for this week.
The mechanic is from out of town, and John says there's no lodging for him in Newtok. So he's been staying in Mahtavik, 9 miles across the Ninglick River. Boats can only travel between the two sites during high tide, and John says the conditions on the water have been treacherous lately. Despite that, John says a mechanic has traveled to Newtalk every day.
Those guys were crossing the Ninglick River in 3-foot waves with breakers, you know, white caps. That's dangerous. We've done everything that we can in the extreme weather.
Although the power came back on Monday, September 21st, John says there will be short intermittent outages over the next few days as a mechanic finishes testing the system. Sandra Ayuluk was one of the Newtalk residents whose food rotted in their freezers. Over the past few weeks, she's been staying with her family in Moksovik. That's because, she says, the lack of heat in her home in Newtalk has the air smelling unhealthy.
Like damp, moldy.
Ayuluk says she has not yet received any help from the tribe to replace her food. She hopes the tribe will also reimburse families for the gas they spent to power their personal generators during the month-long outage. Residents reported spending $20 to $50 a day on gas. Tribal Administrator John says the tribe intends to give everyone in Newtalk and Moksovik a $500 voucher for the local store and a $1,000 credit with the village's power company.
That is still the plan, and we haven't been able to print out and all that because of no power.
John also said he is asking Newtalk families if they lost any food during the power outage, and if so, how much. The tribal administrator says they are still figuring out what they can do for those families, but he promised help in some form is coming. In Bethel, I'm Greg Kim.
Lastly, today, the Association of Village Council Presidents annual convention kicks off. Like many events during this pandemic, it'll be held virtually. Another change from past years, the convention will last only one day instead of its usual three. The session will include passing resolutions to be sent to the annual Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention in October. AVCP declined KYUK's invitation to join our morning talk show to discuss the convention moving to a virtual format this year because of the pandemic. Former Lieutenant Governor Valerie Davidson will be the keynote speaker. The one-day session will also announce the winners of AVCP's annual awards. The Tribal Consortium awards Alaska Native businesses, organizations, and individuals under categories similar to AFN's awards. AVCP's awardees will then be up for nomination at AFN's annual convention. This year's awards go to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation for Health, Alaska Native Science and Engineering Program, or ANSEP, for education, the Kuskokwim River Salmon Management Working Group for the Hunter-Fisher category, Bethel Native Nikki Corbett for her small business, So Yupik, for contributing masks during the pandemic, and finally to Marie Nikolai for youth leadership. Nikolai is being recognized for her art, especially her social distancing poster scattered all over Bethel to remind people to keep 6 feet apart to protect themselves and each other from the coronavirus. This is KYUK News. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Thanks for listening. Please email your comments and news tips to news@kyuk.org. And stay tuned for NewsYukdun coming up.